I have never felt such a resistance as I did for this sermon. So that means God is going to say something. Amen? I wouldn't believe that. So Jesus, I thank you, Father, that you have a message for us this morning. And God, I pray that our hearts will receive it. And Lord, I pray that nothing that I say will draw attention to me, but it will draw attention to you, God. That your word will go forth and transform people's lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. This church is here to connect people with Jesus and help them to follow him. How many believe that's true? And our vision is to invite everybody into the family of God. All of Maple Creek. How many thinks that's a good vision? Amen. So in the last, this is my second message on evangelism or the gospel. And the title is, Those Who Call Upon the Name of the Lord Will Be Saved. Just anybody else with a birthday, since I'm in the business of singing to all kinds of people's birthdays? It must be. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How many heard that before? So, now, when it comes to calling upon the name of the Lord, it's not just a little whisper. It comes from the depth of your heart. And God hears when you cry out to him in faith. How many ever cried out to God? I was just with somebody yesterday, and they said, Hans, I had all this crisis, and I stood up, and I looked up and said, God, if you're out there, show me some sign. And I showed up about a few minutes later. So sometimes you are being used by God to be his sign. Amen? Last Sunday, I talked a little bit about laying the foundation. And I talked about this ship. Remember in 1917, the Titanic went, and they believed something that wasn't true. They believed that it was an unsinkable ship, remember? Sometimes, my friends, we believe things that are simply not true. You see, when we call upon Jesus, we not call upon somebody else. Can you just share this with you? Where I come from in Denmark, many people will tell you this. They will say to you, Hans, if you believe in Jesus, that's good for you. I mean, if that helps you, bless you. Have your faith. Have your prayers. Have your church. But you know what they're saying when they're saying that? They're saying there is no truth. Some people say to me, well, it's all the same. It all leads to God. If that's true, then Jesus is a liar. Because, my friends, there is no other name given to man under heaven by which he must be saved. And do you know why? Because there was no Buddha, there was no Muhammad who died on the cross for you and me. There was no Hindu god who laid down his life. There is only one person who was holy and blameless, who became the Lamb of God, who was sacrificed for your sins and mine. There's only one person who could do that, who could save you. And that one person is Jesus Christ. Good preaching, Hans. So, but here it comes. We live in a culture or that is that believes that the highest value is tolerance. How many believe that's true? Tolerance is the ultimate. But here comes the problem with that. It's not only that people are respectful of others, because I believe that is a principle of the Bible, but actually that that people's opinions and views are equal. They're all the same. I mean, knows that's insanity. That's like saying that Mother Teresa's opinions and Hitler's opinions are the same. I mean, knows they come from two different sources. One was willing to kill the people that God loved. The other one was willing to lay down her life for people that society despised. I mean, there's a difference. Not every opinion is the same. Not every value is the same. Truth can be evaluated. And when you call upon the name of God, you're calling upon the one who's called the way, the truth, and life. So, let's go back to this ship that's going from England to New York. And they believe it's an unsinkable ship, remember? And that's why when they got warnings, they didn't pay attention. They actually had several warnings, and they ignored them. And then they hit the iceberg sideways, and it broke. But here comes the next problem. Because they felt there was an unsinkable ship, they only had half enough lifeboats to take care of the couple of thousand people on that boat. The second problem was that among those boats, the people got in the boat who was, according to the movie, first class. Certain select people got in the boat. And actually, the lifeboats were half empty when they left. Only one boat turned around and came back and picked up six more. And when the funeral boat came, there was 300 people with life jackets laying around in the water who could have been rescued. Why am I saying that? Because that happens because they believed something that was completely wrong. Sometimes, my friends, we believe things because people around us tells us, or the culture tells us. That's where it came from. But then there is Christians. Then there's Christians. And we're safe. How many of you believe you're saved? And you get in your boat. And what happens when you get in your boat? You paddle. You see, why did these people leave in the boat without picking up the other ones? Because, you see, they felt they were safe. And they were heading for being rescued. Things were good for them. And they were afraid of picking up somebody from the water. My friends, sometimes the church is like that. We are so safe in our own little boat that we forget what we're here for. And it's not to get safely into the shore. It is to turn around and rescue somebody else. Amen. But what is this that rescues people? What is it that saves people? How many of you knows that Jesus used the word salvation? How many knows the Bible? Jesus says, I came to seek and save those who are lost. And Jesus says to the guy Nicodemus, he says, you must be born again. Why the Bible uses different terms. You know, we talk about receiving Jesus. We talk about being born again, but what does that actually mean? So in Romans 10, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring, what? Good news. I pray I'll bring you some good news today. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. But I asked, did they not hear? Of course they did. The voice has gone out into all the earth, the words to the ends of the world. So, what's this message? The message is the gospel. But why is it good news? Because the Bible says in Ephesians 2 that you're saved by grace and not by works, but it's through faith, grace through faith. And it's a gift so that no man can boast. How many have heard that before? So you don't earn yourself into salvation. You can't save yourself. Only God can save you. Amen. There's no righteous things you can do to save yourself. Only by the Holy Spirit are you saved. So the question then is, how do I receive? It says in Romans chapter 10, I think it's where it's, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So where does this believing come from? Comes from your heart, right? The heart is the seat of your will and your emotions. Many people will understand about Jesus here, but not here. Salvation comes when it happens in your heart. Trust God with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. For salvation to take place, many of us have to let go of our own understanding. We have to let it go. And what will he do? He'll direct your path. Jesus says to us that no one will see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. When he's born again. Not by, and it says in John 1, verse 12, for those who receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God. Amen? So how do I believe? How do I receive him? How do I actually become saved? Now Jesus makes it clear when he says, those who call upon the Lord of God, when you are saved, it isn't just about mental assent. It is actually asking him to be the Lord of your life. Amen? The Lord of your... Who's in control of your life? How do I know? I'm actually... Sometimes people can sit in church for 50 years and they're not saved. Because who's in control of their life? Who's in control? If I'm in control of my life, I'm not saved. But if God is in control of my life, I'm saved. Amen? So unfortunately, sometimes we just leave people in this little prayer. And I believe in that prayer. But it's not the words of that prayer that saves you. What saves you is the faith behind the prayer. It is when your heart is engaged with the truth. Amen. I think it's Robert Morris who said, I was baptized 3 times. But one day I was in a motel room, and he was struggling with addictions to pornography and other addictions, and everybody thought he was a great Christian. But that one day he bowed down and says, Lord, I give it all to you. It's either you or I die. And he said that day he got saved. Jesus says in his word, why do you call me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I'm asking you to do? How many remember that scripture? Lord, Lord, why do you call me Lord when you don't do what I ask you to do? Because he's not Lord. That's why we don't do it. True? So how do I receive Jesus in my heart? Because it's the heart that faith rises up. It's the heart that you're born again. How many believe that you're made of 3 parts? Spirit, soul, and body. And what's lost when you're born into this world is your spirit. Your spirit is far from God. And it's your spirit that is reaching out for God, and when you accept Jesus in your life, in your heart, the Holy Spirit comes and bears witness with your spirit and gives you a spirit that's you're no longer in bondage to slavery to fear. Paul was praying about fear. You're no longer in bondage to slave to fear, but you are now adopted, a spirit of adoption, crying out, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. When you're born again, you have a Father in heaven who loves you. So here it is. How do I receive this? How do I receive this? You will not ask somebody, you will not give your heart to somebody unless you love them. You will not ask them in your heart unless you trust them. True? So, in 1977, I came to the ranch, about 20-some miles out here, as a young, handsome man with long hair and bell-button jeans. And I was hauling bales, and I could ride a horse, and some young, beautiful girl came, the daughter of the rancher, from Lethbridge to visit on the weekend. And I thought, wow, she's pretty good looking. So they continued to be walks in under the stars, riding on the horse. And I thought, man, she's amazing. Wow. And there was some electricity, some sparks start flying. My wife is very nervous. And it all came to a point on her parents' lawns in 1979 when I looked in the pastor's eyes and I said, I will love her until death takes us apart. Amen? And then how many knows that the next day everything changed? Now, I was committed. I was committed to her. Why was I committed to her? Because I loved her. Why would you ever commit yourself to Jesus? My friends, what Jesus is after is, when there's a lordship, it is that you're committed to him. You're completely committed. Do you know what he says? Pick up your cross. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. That's what he says. That's what he says. Why would I ever do that? Unless I fall in love with Jesus. And so the first step to salvation, in my eyes, is falling in love with Jesus. Amen. And why would I fall in love with Jesus? Because he died for my sins. Because his love was poured out, lavished on me, that I should become a child of God. That he took my inequities. He took my past. He took my ashes. He took my unbelief. He took my atheism. And says, hello, Hans. I have chosen you to be mine. I was not a drug addict. I was not. My marriage wasn't coming apart. But I have to tell you something. There was something missing in my life. And I knew there must be more to this life than what I experienced. So I was searching. And that searching is what God used to say, yes, Hans, there is more to life. I have a call upon you. How many believe that God has a purpose for you? Thank you, Jesus. You're the workmanship of God, prepared for the good works that he has for you. So, how do I receive Jesus? You fall in love with him. Meditate upon one he is. I don't know about you, but when people got to share with me their testimonies of how they got set free and how they changed their lives, it built faith in me. And when I read the scriptures and I saw Jesus touch the lepers and I saw him feed the 5,000 and I saw him giving grace to somebody who was caught in adultery, I said, man, this is an amazing God. He has given me a heavenly father. He has given me identity. He has given me purpose. And he's given me destiny. And he is, how many appreciate you through Jesus Christ? You have life. You see, there are two deaths. One is a physical death. Another one is a spiritual death. And until you accept the gospel, you are spiritually dead. How many know there's a heaven and a hell? And hell is for anyone who rejects Jesus. Now I've said it. Jesus said, narrow is the road to the kingdom, but wide is the road to destruction. I have a little story to tell. I think. Just to illustrate how we actually receive Jesus. How many is in love with Jesus? How many thinks he's amazing? How many here says, I have been touched by God. He opened my eyes. He's taken my life and he has transformed me. I'm a different man than I was. You see, the way I know that you are different is you begin to hate the things that God hates and love the things that God loves. He loves people, but he hates sin because it destroys people. So let me tell you a story of Lawrence. His name is Lawrence Punter. Lawrence Punter grew up in New York, and one day, He had moved to Utah, just to make the story shorter. He moved to Utah and to go in flight school. And he had a job at Denny's. He lost his job. got kicked out by the roommate. And he's growing up in a home where the mother had been too young to be a mother. And she was mean to him, whipped him, and told him, "You are no good for nothing, young man. You will never amount to anything." And now he lost his job, and he couldn't go to school because he had no money. And he was laying in the back alley between two apartment buildings, and somebody threw out a mattress. And he took the mattress and laid on it. And he thought to himself, "My mom is right." Remember about believing things is wrong? He said, "My mom's right. I have failed in every way." And he made money by selling his blood for $7. He took the $7, bought some sleeping pills, and he was laying on a mattress with sleeping pills and a bottle of water, thinking that he was going to take his life. Now hear me. This is how God operates. There, I don't know if you've ever been, but we lived in an apartment building for a number of years as a kid. And many times you can go down and you can hear people's music. You can hear people talking on the balconies. So he was laying there and suddenly he heard music. And then he heard a preacher's voice from somebody's TV. And the preacher says, "Jesus died on the cross for you. And he rose again that through faith in him you can have a brand new life." He said, "Wow." He said, "Now all you need to do is receive him." And somehow in his midst of his darkness of despair, those few words reached in behind the walls and spoke to him. And he thought, Jesus actually cares for me. So he just cried out, "I accept you, Jesus. I accept. I don't know what it means, but I accept you, Jesus. I accept you, Jesus. I accept you, Jesus." And that night, he slept peacefully, woke up in the morning and felt the whole world was different. He went to one of his friends to see if he can get a job, and he got his old job back, and he ended up going back to school. Now, this is what happens. As often happens. People have an encounter. They call upon the name of God, and God shows up in a powerful way. And when things go well, forget about Jesus. He was not plugged into a church. He didn't grow. He didn't know how to grow. And so he had a marriage that fell apart. But one day, he had moved back to New York. A girlfriend said, "Would you go with me to Madison Square? There's a church choir, and I wanted to invite you to come with me." And he thought to himself, "Well, why not? I might get a date out of it." He went. She didn't show up, but he thought, "I got nothing else to do." So he walked in to listen. And the music grabbed him, and then he heard the words of the preacher. He said it was like God sat down beside him. He said it was like, and he heard the preacher say, the Father loves you. You have been always looking. All these years you have been looking for a father, someone to watch over and protect you. But you have a father, and your father is right here with you. I'll give you the love you have yearning for. I'll help fight your battles and live your life." And at that moment, he felt God's love. And he surrendered his life to Jesus. That very moment. Surrendered, and he was born again. And he became part of the church, Brooklyn Tabernacle, if you've ever heard of it. And he became part of the choir. And a year later, he got married, and today he has children. So what am I going to say? Why am I saying this? Because the first time he heard the message and accepted it, but he fell away. And there was, I think, a testing time. And when the testing came, he turned away from God. But then God hadn't given up on him. He was faithful. And there came a place where he surrendered all. He surrendered all. Hello? My friends, I prayed the prayer. And it was like God, I gave God permission to come in my life. And then he tested me as a principal of a Christian school. See, I thought I had everything in control. Just like Alexander thought he had everything in control when he had money and he got his career. He thought he could do it on his own. I thought I could do this principal thing all on my own. But it was falling apart everywhere. We didn't have the money that Jesus wanted to go on mat leave. And there was rebellion among the kids and lots of problems. And I told my wife, I quit. And she said, well, why don't you talk to God first? And I said, I did. I told him I quit. And she said, no, listen. Listen to what Jesus says. So I spent 3 days fasting and trying to listen to what Jesus was saying. And he said, I have a deal for you. If you will spend time with me every day. I didn't have a good discipline as far as reading the Bible or praying. If you spend time with me every day, I'll take care of the school. Which is exactly what I did. But in that time, I learned something. That I cannot control many things in my life. And I had to let it go. So when the salvation come, first time you need to pray the prayer, maybe, or some of you have to go through a time when you have to surrender everything. But I tell you, salvation is about the lordship of Jesus. It's about the lordship of Jesus. And so, what do I do when I... What does that mean? The lordship of Jesus. That means when I wake up in the morning, my day is not just my day. I said, Jesus, what do you want me to do? It means that my money is not just my money. Jesus, what do you want me to do with the money you've given me? Jesus, my giftings, my ability to talk or whatever, have an alien aboard, isn't just for me, God. How can I bring glory to your name in doing whatever I do? That's surrendering. Surrendering your emotions to, surrendering your fear, your pain, your bitterness. You know, sometimes I have my favorite subject, okay? So, Paul preached long sermons. Just hanging in there. So, I hear people say, you know, I'm a Christian. And then, they tell me, well, people tell me this and this and this. And I'm thinking to myself, if you're a Christian, where is Jesus coming in your decisions? Where has he spoken to you about this? Aren't we supposed to trust God with all these things? Where is Jesus in all this? You see, when you're born again, you become a temple of the Holy Spirit. And he is where? Here. And what is he here for? To change you, transform you, and lead you, and guide you, and help you. Now, most of us, and I'm just going to end it with maybe. Okay, I'm going to end with this. Most of us recognize we need to change. And so we try to do it on our own. But if you receive Jesus as your Savior, your transformation is not your works. It's actually God's responsibility. I think it was Robert Morris, I saw him doing this. He said, you know, Ted, I knew my life was going down the pit, and I tried to stop it. And I pushed here and I pushed here and I pushed there. And he said, but as soon as I let off the pressure, I was right back doing whatever I was doing before. But when I surrendered, it turned just like that. Repent, Peter says, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Turn to God and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. Repentance means surrender. It means let faith speak to you. It means turning away from the things of the world and turn to God. So here it is. What in the world will stop you from receiving Jesus? How many believe these are good things? Eternal life, forgiveness of sin, relationship with God. Somebody who actually comes and dwells in you and will never leave you nor forsake you. Somebody who loves you. What prevents you from surrendering? So, with every eye closed and every head bowed, now hear me. The only reason I do this is so that God can speak to you. It's not because I want to manipulate you, but I want to just let God talk to you. So, if you're not sure about your salvation, just with everybody else's eyes closed, head bowed, just stand up. Jesus says, if you're willing to declare me before men, I'm willing to declare you before my Father in heaven. How many here can say, I'm not really sure about my salvation? I'm not really sure I have surrendered all, but I want to. Is anybody here? Holy Spirit, come. So, Lord Jesus, I pray you will deal with us so that, God, we will find an assurance in our hearts that you are indeed the Lord of our life. It's not other people. It's not our culture. But it is you. Jesus, I want to give my heart to you, God, again and again. Because I love you. In Jesus' name.